Former black shirt. Former Super Bowl champion.
Scott Chanley's my guest.
The speed and the explosiveness, I think, should excite Nebraska fans. Game film is always going to be better than practice film because everybody's going 100 miles an hour.
Scott Chanley, black shirt, Super Bowl champ.
Being a Nebraska kid growing up and not only wanting to play for Nebraska and run out in front of the sea of red, but as soon as I knew I was going to be a defensive player, that becomes one of your goals, is to get one of those black jerseys.
Scott Chanley, breaking things down.
Attack, 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 maybe give up a big play. You can live with that, but you got to be aggressive on defense. A couple guys here or there, kind of brother-in-law on it, not going full speed. It's hard to tell. What's going on?
Scott Chanley joins Nick now on Game Time.
How do you say no to Scott Chanley, am I right?
Sounds great.
Bring him in, Scott Chanley. Joins us every Wednesday at this time. Got to talk a little college football and some NFL playoffs. First of all, Scott, how are you?
Hey, doing good.
I want to start with the college football national championship game. And listen, both of us, we're Nebraskans, so Tom Osborne's like, you know, I mean, it's like he's a god, right? But I mean, at this point, man, the verdict is in. I think Nick Saban's the greatest college football coach of all time. To me, he's one of probably the five greatest football coaches of all time. I mean, six titles now. When Bama, what impresses you the most about what Saban and his teams and how he does it? Like, what stands out to you?
Well, I think first of all, there's a lot of things. I mean, to do what they've done over their last 10 years, I don't know if we'll ever see it. I think we're in the middle of one of the greatest and longest lasting dynasties, especially in modern college football. I don't know if it'll ever be done. The thing that impresses me is this guy gets the best recruits in the country, as you would expect when you're annually the number one or number two top team in the country. But the way these guys are coached and the selflessness that he instills in five-star recruits across the board, the depth they have, guys stick around to play for him and to learn football. Oh, listen, a lot of guys stay for 1 year. They know they're going to go to the NFL, and that's a huge draw for them. But I think Jalen Hurts, his attitude towards being benched at halftime, epitomizes what impresses me about the Alabama program, what Saban's able to do.
Yeah, it's amazing, Scott, when you think about the last two titles that Saban's won, so Clemson 2 years ago and then this one, they both involved two decent-sized risks in the game. Remember 2 years ago, Saban kicked that onside kick in the second half, got it, kind of changed the game. Then at halftime of this game, they pull a 27-game starter for a true freshman. I mean, you can't be out there just like gambling all the time, but a lot of good coaches know when to dial up some gambles and some risks.
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing about Saban is he felt the flow of that game in the first half, as we all did watching it, that Georgia was going to win that game. But Alabama hadn't done anything. And so when you're Nick Saban, you have the portfolio he does with the wins and the national championships. You are able to live or die by that decision. And it obviously turned out to be the best because, I think a lot of us can admit that if Jalen Hurts would have played the second half, that Georgia probably would have won the national championship. He doesn't have the throwing ability that the young kid did.
Yeah.
And they needed that in the game. So, it ended up turning out to be an outstanding game, and a lot of it was because of the decision Saban made at halftime.
Scott Chanley's my guest. Scott, all right, let's transition here to talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs. I want to look back before we look forward here. We'll start with the Saints. We'll start with a team that obviously you know extremely well, having played there and still close to the team. One of the reasons I picked, and I think New Orleans can be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl, is because of Drew Brees. And in that game over the weekend against Carolina, he was really good. For you, how good does Drew Brees need to be if the Saints want to get to the Super Bowl? Does he need to be, like, out of his mind good, or does he just have to be solid?
No, Drew has to be what we all know Drew is. And he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He has to be that guy that he's been his entire career. You know, so far this year, he's been, I don't even want to use the word game manager because he's been more than that, but you saw this playoff game, he goes for 370, and he's throwing the ball very effectively. They're going to have to do that, and they're going to have to do that especially this weekend going to Minnesota. That's going to be a tough place to play. That defense is an elite defense, coached by a really good defensive coach in Mike Zimmer. So Drew Brees, and that's why, just like you said, a lot of people pick the Saints to come out of the NFC because they have the quarterback to do that. And so he's going to have to play to that expectation.
Did the stage and the moment get to the Rams, or was it more about Atlanta?
I think it's more about Atlanta.
Okay.
You know, I've seen Atlanta a lot this year, and they have all the guys coming back who were in that Super Bowl last year. They have a lot of experience. They have a lot of talent, first of all. But they've been just kind of in this funk. You know, I saw them play the Saints twice, and there's just kind of a cloud hanging over them. And I thought if that team got in the playoffs and they got out of that funk and got excited about being back in the playoffs and redeeming themselves, that you would see what you saw against the Rams. I think the Rams are a good team. Heck, I thought they could go to the Super Bowl. But what you saw is you saw Atlanta finally realize they're getting close to redeeming themselves.
Right. There's no doubt about it. And that, with Kansas City, I mean, 21-3, and there was kind of like when Mariota caught the deflected pass and scored, to me, in my mind, I thought, okay, here we go. Kansas City might fall apart again at home in the playoffs. What stood out to you with what happened in the second half of that game that allowed Tennessee to win on the road?
I just think it was too conservative by Kansas City. They came out, they fed off the crowd. There was a lot of energy in Arrowhead. And they, you know, I think Kansas City thought Tennessee wasn't good enough to catch up. And so what Kansas City was trying to do was run the clock out almost.
Mm-hmm.
And that game lasted a lot longer than they expected it to. And Tennessee, you got to give them credit. They made plays the entire game, kept scratching and clawing till the very end. But Kansas City, I feel for Kansas City fans. You talk about six straight losses, playoff losses at Arrowhead. You never think you'd see that. Last playoff win was when Joe Montana was at quarterback. It's unthinkable.
So I'm not sure if you read it, but there was the huge ESPN story about the New England Patriots and kind of the power struggle between Belichick, Brady, and Kraft. And, you know, to be fair, in the story, there's a lot of rumors, there's a lot of unnamed sources, there's a lot of innuendo. But I don't know, there were aspects of the story that seemed kind of plausible to me, I guess. I don't know, knowing what you know about New England, knowing how they operate, and then reading that story, how did it kind of all add up to you?
Yeah, I think there's got to be some truth in there somewhere. The one thing I don't know, just how much, you know, the story kind of leads you to believe that there's a lot of strain on relationships with those top three guys in that organization. I don't know how much strain there is. I think it'd be hard to win if you have the owner and the coach and the Hall of Fame quarterback not all getting along together the same. I think Bill Belichick and Brady have a great working relationship. You know, you don't see them hanging out in the Hamptons and doing things in the offseason, but
sure,
their working relationship is as good as there is, and that's what matters. And I think the one thing about Tom Brady, as long as he's continued to play the way he's playing, they're going to continue to be in the hunt for a championship every year.
In 3 years, let's say, who's the quarterback and who's the coach of the Patriots?
You know, wow. You know, it would be a lot easier if Jimmy Garoppolo was there.
Yep.
And I'm sure by what that story says, Belichick didn't want to get rid of him, and you can see why. He went to San Francisco, turned that franchise around in five games. A lot of it's going to depend on what they do in the draft this year. They're going to have to start to find a quarterback, and it's going to come down to Robert Kraft and him really allowing him, Belichick, to go out and find a succession to Brady, because, you know, Brady's playing good, but Father Time, he's undefeated, and
right,
he may show up all of a sudden, and this playing till 45 like Brady thinks may not happen. So the Patriots could be put in a bind here.
All right, let's go through these games this weekend and just kind of pick your brain on them. We'll start with the Saints and the Vikings. You know, we talked a little bit about how Breeze and his importance. You know, Minnesota, they're a team that you talk about just being complete in a lot of different ways. They're pretty darn impressive. What's the key in that one? What will you be looking for with Minnesota and New Orleans?
The key in that one, obviously, the home field advantage for Minnesota is going to be huge. I look at the Saints offense and the Vikings defense as a push. Both are really good units. I like the Saints defense against this Vikings offense, against Case Keenum and Thielen, their running game. A lot of no-name guys. I just think with a week off, a bye week, and those guys getting out of a rhythm a little bit is going to help the Saints defense. To me, this game is going to come down to special teams. And I know it's not a very attractive thing. People start talking about special teams in the playoffs. But these are the type of games. I think it's going to be a 17-14 type game. Field position is going to be huge. Saints have one of the best punters to ever do it. It's going to come down to hitting those field goals and changing field position. I think the Saints are going to win a close one, 17-14.
When you look at Atlanta and Philly, it's interesting when you have a wild card team going to the one seed and the wild card team is favored. But that's kind of the nature of when your quarterback is hurt and you got Foles out there. I mean, do you expect Atlanta to win this game?
I expect Atlanta to win this game because of the quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, going to Philly, Philly has rest. Their defense is fast. They're physical. They have a good offensive line. And Atlanta has struggled against the running game. It wouldn't surprise me if Philly wins because Atlanta's done a lot of traveling. Going out to L.A., now they got to go to Philly. But I think Atlanta has a quarterback to go up in Philly and win.
Obviously, Tennessee and going to New England feels like it's almost almost feel like you're watching the NCAA tournament. It's like a 15 seed taking on a 2 seed, you know, like it's just Belichick, Brady, 2 weeks to prepare going against an offense in Tennessee that is not great. I mean, do you expect a big win from New England?
I don't know if I necessarily expect a big win, like a 40-something to 10 game. I don't know if it's going to be like that. The only reason I say that is I put a lot of faith in Dick LeBeau, the defense coordinator for the Titans. He was a longtime coordinator for the Steelers, and I think he's going to find ways to give Brady pressure and give him some fits, but it's hard to go against New England at home.
Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. I mean, crazy things can happen, but certainly that Jacksonville-Buffalo game was not the prettiest thing you'll ever see in your life. What stands out to you about that matchup?
Well, I'll tell you, before I saw Jacksonville play last week against Buffalo, I would have gave Jacksonville a chance. But Blake Bortles, he has to play much better than he played last week to have any chance to beat the Steelers. The Jacksonville defense is elite. But you are going to have to score some points against Pittsburgh. But the safe play would be to go with Pittsburgh at home. But Jacksonville, that defense is the real deal.
Yeah, it is. It'll be interesting to see what happens. You got four really good games this weekend. Scott Shanley, Blackshirt Super Bowl champ. Scott, good stuff, man. We'll catch up next week.
All right, sounds good.
You got it. Scott Shanley joins us every Wednesday at this time. So you got Atlanta and Philly. I mean, it's pretty amazing to think that Atlanta is coming out, wild card, going to the one seed, and they're favored by 3. The only game that doesn't feel like it, I don't know, it kind of feels like Atlanta's going to win that game, feels like New England's going to win that game, feels like Pittsburgh's going to win their game. The Saints-Vikings game is kind of a coin flip, but the NFL playoffs have a way of being unpredictable at times. And imagine there's going to be one game this weekend or one storyline, one moment that's going to be a little unpredictable. It's you wonder what game that'll come out of. Be interesting to see what happens. But good stuff with Scott Shanley. Again, 15 minutes away from Barrett Rood. Barrett, inside linebackers coach. It was officially announced yesterday for Nebraska. Excited to talk to B. Rood coming up at 12 o'clock. So that means we're going to push the mailbag back to 12:30. Make sure you get your questions for me to Corey at 1620thezone.com. Anything you want to ask me, serious or silly, I'll answer all the questions. Best email question is going to win some food to Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer. Let's take a break. Got a thought? Get it in. You can email me, nick@1620thezone.com, or hit me on Twitter @NickBaugh. Game time.